Well, it's so good to be back preaching. It was wonderful to have Andrew last week, and his message is podcast. You can download it onto your smartphone and all the various podcast things. Just Google, just put in Kennet Christian Center podcast, and you can listen to it on the way to work, on the way back from work. And if you think a friend would like it, you can let a friend have it, and so on. And so that's there. But this week, I'm just starting a little series on choosing life. Anyone want to choose life here? Amen. And that's the main verse I'll start with. Is this is what God said to the Israelites. He said, "Today I set before you life and good, or death and evil. That I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgment, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will what? Bless you in the land which you go to possess." And every day, I believe we have a choice as believers. You can choose life and go in God's way and walking in his favor and blessing, or you can choose death. Now, I'm not saying if you do, you sin, you do something, you're gonna suddenly die. No, it's spiritually you're grieving the Holy Spirit, and you're bringing yourself into a place where you're not living in the life that Jesus came to give you. Amen. He comes to give you life in all its fullness. Amen? I shared the other week that, you know, I'm one of these people, when I buy one of these mechanical things that you have to fit together yourself, they bring this instructions book, and I'm like, I haven't got time for that. I'll just put it together. Anyone just put it together? I built a whole wardrobe, IKEA wardrobe, and then I realized I couldn't get the shelf in because I put the door on. And I had to take it apart again and put it back together again. But you know, you have a maker. And he knows every cell in your body. He knows every hair. I won't look at anyone, Vernon. He knows every hair on your head. He designed you. He is the maker. He is your creator. He is the lover of your soul. And he made you, and he designed you. And his ways are not are the ways of the one that made you. Amen. And when you live in his ways, you are walking in that path of life. Hallelujah. It's gone very quiet. Don't worry. I'm not going to keep you too long today. You'll be out. It rained this morning. I was just for doing the finishing touches, and it was raining on me. I thought, wow, that was something. You are designed by a wonderful creator, and he gives us ways and statutes, not to restrict us, but so that we can live life in its fullness. Amen? You hear that expression, off the rails. When you have a train going off the rails, it's not any good to anyone. And there are rails in our life. But they're there so that we can live life in all its fullness. Amen? And so the amazing thing God says to these precious Israelites, he says, you can choose. You can live in fullness, in life. Or you can live and not live in his blessing, and spiritually begin to bring I'll show you some other scriptures, corruption, death into your life. And the crazy thing of the history of the Old Testament is so often the Israelites chose death and got banished from the land and didn't enjoy what God had for them. And so often in church history, many Christians make the wrong choice and don't live in the fullness that God has for them. Amen? And my prayer today is that you will choose life, not just in receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you will choose life when you wake up on Monday morning. That you will choose life when you're stuck in a traffic jam. That you will choose life when someone has wound you up and you choose to love them with the love of Jesus. Amen? So why do Christians choose death? Why do people choose death? Because we have an adversary and he has been cast out from heaven. The Bible says he is living in spiritual death and he wants to pull down as many of us as he can. What are his tools? Well, number one tool, deception. It says he is a deceiver. And what he does, he will show you something you know is wrong, but he won't show you the consequences of if you do it. Amen. He will just show you, oh, you could fiddle your tax return or whatever it is. And if you do that, you'll just get a little bit more money. And, you know, you are going to miss out because, you know, if what you sow, you reap. Hello. You've been on holiday. You should preach something nice. How can you come back and preach this kind of stuff? Deception, the pull of the flesh. I've got some good news and bad news. The bad news is you will never escape the pull of the flesh. It will always be there. I know one person went to a pastor, says, I don't want to be tempted anymore. I don't want to be pulled in any wrong direction anymore. And the pastor, can you pray for me? And the pastor prayed, Lord, let your servant depart in peace. Listen, while you're in this life, there will be temptations. Hello. There will be, when that parking warden, well, bless the parking wardens, Lord. I had a friend who's a pastor in Willesden, and he put on top of his church, unlike the parking wardens around here, God shows mercy. And they came and visited him, and he prayed for them. He told them about the mercy of God and gave them his registration number and asked for a bit of dispensation. But anyway, the flesh will pull you, but there's a greater one in you. The law of the spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And so just as gravity holds us down, right now probably somewhere in an airport at Heathrow or Gatwick, there's a plane breaking the law of gravity because there's a law of aerodynamics that lifts you above. And greater is he who's in you than he that's in the world. You're like you have a cork inside you that will pull you into righteousness. Amen? It's not you, I'm trying not to sin. I'm trying. I don't want to sin. And then you sin. No, it's not willpower. It's the Holy Spirit within you. As you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life. Hallelujah. I remember I just had times where when I was tempted at certain points in my life, I remember, being tempted to smoke again. And then suddenly I just had this disgust just rise up within me, and I just felt the Holy Spirit said, you never need to go back to that. Amen. Don't worry if you know, we can pray for you. Don't worry, okay? There's life within you. He will try. The pull of the flesh will always be there. But greater is he that's in you. And sometimes it's straight rebellion. You know, some people get angry at God. I speak to a lot of Christians who are mad at God. And they're like, I'm turning my back on God. Please, don't turn your back on God. As someone said, the difference between Christianity and religion, religion is, I've messed up, my dad's going to kill me. Christianity is, I've messed up, I need to go and talk to my dad. Amen. Run back to Jesus. He says, and come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy and help in a time of need. He's there with open arms. Amen? Don't run away from him. Run to him. He's always there for you. And so we need to sometimes let go of disappointment, let go of painful issues in our life and say, Lord, I don't understand it. I mean, I don't understand a lot of things, but I trust in him at all times. Amen? And so, you know, in Corinthians, Paul had to write to them, and they were spiritual. They prophesied. They moved in the gifts of the Spirit. He said to them, you come behind in no gift. They were really Pentecostal, you know, they were charismatic, they were full on, and yet in their attitude and in their lives, they were still striving, there were still divisions, there was carnality, and they were behaving as mere men. In other words, like everyone else out there. God wants you to be distinctive. Amen? He wants you, like Caleb, to have a different spirit. You know, right now it's really popular to be negative. Everything, the political scene is negative. The economic scene is negative. The football scene, for some of you, is negative. Reading supporters, we can pray for you at the end of the meeting. Sorry, But God has put a different spirit in you. His Holy Spirit. And you see, going God's ways is not, it's how you live morally. You live in integrity. Your word is your honor. Amen. When you say you're going to be on time. When the worship starts at 10:30. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I think I've been left behind on Sunday morning. You know, I wonder where something's happened and you've all up in heaven worshiping and left me behind. I don't know. Listen. It does mean you live according to God's ways morally, but it also means you get a heavenly perspective on your life. The just shall live by. Amen. That's the foundation of the Protestant Reformation. We are living by faith. We are looking not at what is seen, but what is unseen. So the world will say, oh, there's a depression, oh, there's a crisis. You'll be seeing there's an opportunity to share the good news. Amen? You know, we have a cost of living crisis, but because of that crisis, we are meeting more people in our community than I have known since I've been here. And possibly in our history, I don't know exactly. But every week they're there with us. And we're feeding them and blessing them and doing what we can. In every crisis is an opportunity. You know, the finest hour, Churchill said, was for the air RAF servicemen who won the Battle of Britain, which was in the air. It was the biggest crisis, but it was their finest hour. Amen. And your biggest crisis is going to be your finest hour. Amen. So don't go, I want a problem-free life. Oh, I don't want trials. Oh, I don't want tribulations. No, God turns trials for your good. He works all things together for your good. He makes you stronger through the trials. Amen? And when you get to heaven, there won't be any more. Yay! So count it all joy. I'm still waiting for that phone call. Someone to ring and say, Phil, I'm so excited. I've got a really big trial. I need this. Oh, I'm just so full of joy because I know God's going to turn this together for good. No one's ever rung me to say that. You can, though. Please feel free. Feel free. I'm still waiting for that. But God can work it all out for your good. And you see, our lives, we're called to be morally different. But we're also like Daniel. You have the most excellent spirit within you. The spirit of the living God. Amen? You can live differently. That's why in one community, they were ringing the church to say, we're looking for an accountant in our office, and we wonder if you have one in your church. And they said, well, we're not a recruitment agency. Why are you ringing our church? And they say, because of the last person that worked for us from your church made the whole office a really fun place to be in and lifted the morale of the staff. And we know if we get someone like that from your church, we will not only get the job done, we will change the atmosphere where we work. Amen? Where do you live? Bless your street. Bless your neighbors. Bless the person that had an all-night party last night. Go and just, I don't know, pray or just, you know, do something. Because wherever you go, the New Testament says this, these Christians that turned the world upside down, i.e. the right way up, they've come here also. Hallelujah. We should have people going, oh, I hope as a Christian moves in next door, because the last couple that lived next door, they were Christians, and they were such a blessing. Oh, I'll let the Holy Spirit convict us on that. I know, Simon, you've been blessing your village and people coming round. And listen, learn to live differently. Amen? You see, out of the ground of the Lord made every tree grow. That every tree in that garden was pleasant to the sight, good for food. And the tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I must say, at times I'm baffled. Did Satan put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden? God did. I wish he hadn't, but he did. Because you in this age have an opportunity to choose life. Amen? He doesn't take your, it's your decision. You can choose death or you can choose life. Oh, I wish we could wind back the clock, don't you? And get hold of Adam and Eve and just say, we're going to put you up Everest and you're going to stay up there. Just keep away from that tree. You know? We want to be, God doesn't take your free will away. You know, when you're in glory, you're just going to be so caught up. It won't be a sacrifice of praise. You'll just be praising. But here on earth, you have a choice to choose life. Amen? I hope this is making sense. Is this making sense? But what was the choice? Out of every garden tree, you may eat freely. There was lots of trees. There was lots of blessing, and it included the tree of life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. These fans, they're a two-edged sword. Thank you. But one tree they couldn't eat from. And God said, If you choose, you can choose the tree of life or any of those trees, but you choose this one tree, you will die spiritually and eventually physically. Oh, saints, God gives you free will. That's part of you being made in the image of God. And the enemy deceived Adam and Eve into taking fruit from the wrong tree. And you know, I have to be honest, there are so many godly men and women that I've known down through the years with signs and wonders, miracles, enjoying God, and they've got deceived and gone against God's ways, and they're still saved. They've repented, but they've lost what God had given them. Amen. He's the God of restoration. But let me tell you, learn the easy way. Choose life. Amen. Just nudge your neighbor. I can fan your neighbor. I can see one or two. You're perspiring. You're like you're in a finished sauna. But you'll be fine. I'm going to land this soon. David said this: "You will not leave my soul in Sheol." That's the place of the departed. I need a bit of that too. Okay, thank you. "Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." Listen to this. "You will show me" what? "The path of life." And what's the path of life? Life in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. There's a path of life for you, Clayton. And you can have the joy when Arsenal score and you're there. You can live in that joy day by day. There's joy in his presence. It doesn't just say joy, it says fullness of joy. Amen? And in your presence is pleasures for, at your right hand, pleasures forevermore. There's a pathway. You know, the Bible says the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter until the full breaking of day. That's the path he has for you to live. That's the way you can live. You can live drawing on the life of God, drawing on the goodness of God, drawing on the favor of God. And so you can go through the difficultest trial, the harshest challenge, and carry the presence of God, because the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. There's a greater pull, and it's into God's ways. Amen. Are you with me? Are you with me? So let me tell you, it's a narrow gate. It's a narrow gate. Now, we could look at this scripture and say, well, I guess this is about salvation. But I believe it's actually about more than just salvation. The gate is Jesus. It's about how you live your life. I know Christians, they may be going to heaven, they're still God's children, but they brought destruction into their life because of stupid things they've done. And but there's a narrow is the way that leads to life, and few find it. I've met people, I remember meeting some of my people from Syria, and some of them are with the Lord right now, and they've been through the most atrocious things, and yet you look at them and they're full of the life of God. Amen. They've gone through those trials. They've gone through those challenges. And they're on that path that leads. They're full of life. Amen. So God doesn't just want to save you, forgive you, and pay your insurance policy. God wants you to live in his life. Amen. There's a narrow way. I tell you what, there were moments where, you know, things are happening around you. Someone's just, you know, we had things, cars stolen in London, things going on, people, I had before they had this iCloud thing, I had like 5 years worth of sermons, and I put my laptop in the boot of the car, and someone must have seen me. I parked further near a few blocks away, and someone had smashed the window and taken 5 years of sermons away. Wow. I didn't worry about the laptop, it was the sermons, you know. But you know, in those times, God wants us to forgive and live in his life. Amen. It's a pathway of life. Hallelujah. Is this making sense? It's a narrow gate, but learn, you know, for me, at times I grew up as a young man in a very depressed season of our country. I was in a very, I was in a one parent family, and we kind of just made do each week. My father had died. My mother was struggling with three kids, and it was just a very, very kind of like, I just felt like a depressing atmosphere that I grew up in. And when I got saved, I still had that mindset, that kind of restricted mindset, and God had to break me free from that. Amen? Just because you, just because you're saved doesn't mean you've left all your baggage behind. You have to leave your baggage behind and let God enlarge your heart. Amen. There's a path of life. And when, you know, whenever we went shopping and I wanted something, bless my mum, she did her best, but she kept saying, we can't afford it, we can't afford it. I have to be honest, I've said that once or twice to our Silas as well. But if God wants you to, if God wants to give it to you, he's going to get it to you. Amen. And I had to walk in God. I remember being in London as an apprentice pastor on £500 to live in London. I mean, that wouldn't pay for the rent in a broom cupboard at the moment. But God made a way where there was no way. And he'll make a way for you. What, inflation crisis? Sure. Bills going up? Sure. But God is your provider. And I learned, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen? And so we're breaking out of those old things. And my narrow gate was learning to see things from a heavenly perspective. Amen? I used to, when I was 8, I'd listen, the unemployment figure was 3.5 million back then, and I used to worry as an 8-year-old, will I ever get a job? And God had to deliver me from that. Amen? Because when you follow God, all these things will be added to you. I want to tell you this. Jesus is the life. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am what? The way. I am the truth and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the gate. What does that mean? It means Jesus gives us the way to go in the pathway of life. Amen. He is your shepherd. He will. He knows what's best for you. He leads you to green pasture. He will take you through the valley of death. He is the way. Just say that. Jesus is the way. The truth. He brings the truth to break off the lies that you may believe. Caroline, in her counseling, one of the things that they do is they say, talk about ungodly beliefs. Things that you have accepted to be true, but are not what God says about you. I'm rubbish. I'm no good. I'm never good enough. I'm never this. I'm never that. You have believed a lie. You need to repent. Do you know what repent means? Rethink. Change your thinking and turn from your natural thinking to God's. Amen. You know, David, when he saw Goliath, what did he do? He ran to the battle. In other words, he says, I can't wait to see the giant fall. When you have a trial, run to the battle. Hallelujah. Whatever the finances of a church, I haven't looked at the report yet, but God is going to meet our needs. Hallelujah. And he's always met our needs. Run to the battle. Have that thing in you that you say, I'm going to believe you about my life. I'm going to believe you about my family. Amen. Hallelujah. And then he says, I am the life. Christianity is not a self-improvement course. Christianity is Christ working in you to do his will and pleasure. I can't make myself good in myself. Some people are trying to make the old man better. God doesn't want to make the old man better. He wants it buried. Amen? He wants you to live in the resurrected power of God. Hallelujah. To live above the pull of the flesh. To live above your mind when you come to that place and you're being pulled and you've got confusion. To focus on him and let him give you his ways in that situation. Amen. Jesus said this. Oh, sorry. Here's that verse. I've already quoted it 3 times. I've come that you may have life, they may have life, and have it more abundantly. Jesus, you're going to live in heaven if you're a believer, and you're going to live in the life of God, the manifest glory of God, forever and ever and ever. Isn't that wonderful? Think of your most powerful experience of God. You're going to live in that. Hallelujah. You're going to live in that. And that, Jesus says, I've come to give you life in abundance. In other words, life in this life. You're called to reign. Now that doesn't mean we take over all the political parties, we take over all the... No, what it means is, whatever's going on around me, I'm going to walk with Jesus. Amen? I'm not coming under all the depression. I'm not coming, you know, Clayton, I have to pray when I come away from the stadium at Brentford and they've lost 3-0. Doesn't happen very often, but it did when they played Arsenal. And I can feel this depression coming on me and this cloud. And I just have to say, no, I'm going to live in the joy of the Lord. Amen. Problems will come. Setbacks will come. But you can live and reign with him in this life. Jesus said, when they persecute you, count it all joy. Your names are written in the book of life. The Father sees. That's reigning in life. Some of my friends in the Middle East, they reign in life when they're struggling to feed their families. But God is meeting their needs. That's the life Jesus has for you. Abide in me. It's not you trying to do all this in your own strength. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. Unless you abide in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You can't bear fruit on your own. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Just say this after me. Without him, I can do nothing. And God will bring you sometimes to a place where you realize that. I see Christians, some people wanting, I want to be in the ministry. Well, we're all in the ministry, actually. And they're pushing, I'm going to see if I can open that door. I'm going to see if I can do this and push here and push there. Can I just give you some advice? Abide in him. That means just remain drawing on the vine. Have your time with Jesus. Amen. Wesley said, I'm too busy not to pray. I want my life to be abiding in Jesus. Amen. Because as I draw on his, it's the fruit of his spirit. I have love. I have peace. I have faithfulness. I have joy. It's the fruit. It's coming not from me. The goodness isn't from me. The goodness is from him. And you'll find as you walk with Jesus on that narrow way, you love unlovable people. Amen. You even love Arsenal supporters. It's just amazing what God can do. Sorry. But you love people that have wronged you. You forgive them. You show kindness to them. I remember there was this person who moved in the street of our church, and he said, I'm going to shut you guys down. I'm going to get the environmental people onto you. I'm going to get the fire brigade onto you. I'm going to get the noise pollution people onto you. I'm going to get rid of you. And he did all of those. We had a fire inspection. We had in the middle of a meeting. We had council workers with their noise pollution things outside our building, just waiting for us to clap so that it would go up. I mean, we had it all. And then we had this treasure hunting team, and they, before they go out, they pray, show us who you want to touch tonight. And they saw this man. They didn't know who he was. And they saw where he would be outside the chip shop or whatever it was. And this is the word that God gave them for this man. And they went out and they found this man who was the guy trying to close us down. And they said, God showed us, you have this, this, and this going on in your life. And God wants to meet you here, here, and touch your life. And he started crying, and the Holy Spirit came on him, and then they prayed for him, and then he said, oh, so where are you from? And they said, oh, Chiswick Christian Center. And his face but you know, from that day on, we never had a problem with that person. He loves your enemy. Hallelujah. I don't like my enemy. I want to be an Old Testament Christian. There's a narrow way. It is a narrow way. But God will lead you on that narrow way. And when you think it's impossible, he will make it possible. I'm going to learn this. The mind controlled by the sinful nature is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is what? Life and peace. You choose death, life. And can I say, every day I can wake up, I can turn on the news, I can fill myself with all the woes and troubles, and it just leads me away from a place of faith. Or I can let my mind just say, controlled by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And he'll start giving you his perspective. I've been praying for Ukraine. And down here, I just have a feeling we're going to be going to Ukraine. Hallelujah. Not just yet. But when the time's right, God will open the door so we can bless that nation. Get your mind controlled by the Spirit. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you've been through a really hard situation. Ask God, give me the mind of Christ. I want to think the thoughts of God, life and peace. And Paul said, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are noble. You can get all these negative ideas of other churches and other Christians and this scandal, that scandal. I don't want to fill my mind with that. I just say, Lord, but for the grace of God, go I. Lead me in the pathway of life. Amen. Don't be conformed to this world. It's easy to be like everyone else. But be metamorphosized, transformed. Go from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Amen. By the renewing of your mind, you can start. I had to start to think God's thoughts, not my boring, negative, dull English thoughts. Sorry. Whitehead thoughts. He wants you to break out of that caterpillar shell and soar with him. Each day of your life, God said to the Israelites, I've set before you life and death. Can I just encourage you? Choose life. Amen. I don't know what you're going through, but he does. Choose life. The trials will come. The challenges will come. The temptations will come. But choose life. Jesus said, I am the way to life. I am the truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth sets you free. And I am the life. Choose life. And every week, every day, every hour, you can choose his way. Why do we sin? I could do a real kind of fear-busting message and make you... But we're mature Christians. Let's stop messing around and choose life. And abide in him and live the life that Jesus came to give us. I have come that you may have and have it. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? Emma and the team, just worship him. You know, repentance doesn't necessarily mean coming and wallowing and gnashing. Repentance can mean I'm changing the direction of travel. And I believe, just as I was sharing just now, there are things that the Holy Spirit's just bobbed up, a wrong attitude, an area in your mind where you haven't allowed the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to renew your mind, where you're still living in death, still living in the conformity to the world. And Jesus says, choose life. Choose life this day. Choose who you serve. Allow, Holy Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, and someone prayed this in the prayer meeting, I just pray that your light will shine into any area of darkness in our hearts. That we will allow you to transform us in that area. Father, where we're just talking up the problem rather than talking up who you are, I pray you will give us that mustard seed of faith. It only needs a mustard seed where we can speak your word into our circumstances and see the mountain shifted out of the way. I pray for our families where we may have given up on our children or our spouse, that you will give us life. You will give us a renewed mind, renewed thinking, Lord. I pray, Father, where we have just become so full of doom and gloom, that you will give us a heavenly mindset, that we would speak as Jesus, you said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. Lord, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Lord, let our tongues be releases of your life, that it may impart grace to those who hear us. And I just pray, Father, that you will work in our hearts. We don't want to be conformed to this world. We want to be men and women who walk in you. Turn us from every way of darkness to live the life that you designed us to live. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Well, the sauna is nearly over. We're just going to worship as we go. God bless you. And may we all live that life that Jesus came to give us. Amen.